bullet loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. My blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around. Just tell me, Alabama, you may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker in North Central Indiana. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for the radio show that you get, 6 days a week? Sometimes more. That's right. And yeah, and sometimes we even come in here and give thanks to the Son, the All Father's Son. Yes, the date is October the 7th, 2014, and it's a windy, blustery day out. A little rain off and on. Boy, did we have a cloud breaker yesterday! Unbelievable. And it hailed, too. It got hailed enough we had white on the ground. How about that? So, anyhow, I think the seasons, they be a-changing, man. Oh, yeah, I was told by my webmaster, and the webmaster keeps me straight here. I don't have a engineer here in the bunker, but I got a webmaster. And she tells me that I've been leaving the microphone on. Sometimes you can hear things going on in the background. Well, I'll tell you what that was, mostly. Some of these microphones, the switches don't work properly sometimes. And so just switching it off, don't switch it off. so I had to forget the using the switches, and I'll go to the levers on my preamplifier. And I think that'll solve that problem, because I've noticed I've done that a few times, and good thing I got a bunch of good buddies and gals out there that don't criticize much, because I make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. Well, of course, we're going to have an election pretty soon, and all these guys that are running for office are sending me around this slick stuff. And most of them say, oh, well, I want more jobs for Indiana, and I want to help the working class. You never hear shit from them any other time. And what they mean is more jobs because of low pay, non-represented, non-arbitrated or anything, labor going on here, killing the unions. And so, yeah, you can easily bring more jobs into the state if you cut the pay down to about $5 an hour. You'll have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them clamoring aboard. But if you tell the corporations, I'm sorry, boys, this is going to be a right-to-live state. Yeah, you're going to be paying basic wages starting out about $20 an hour. Then we'll see how many of those corporations want to climb in here and take advantage of the situation. And they keep talking about the amount of jobs have gone up. What, six million or something? Well, of course, they're low-paying jobs. And they're part-time jobs being counted as full-time jobs. So they manipulate the figures all the time. Well, anyhow, you know it, I know it, but there's millions of dumbasses out there that don't seem to know their ass from a hole in the ground and go along with about anything and say, well, what can I do? What can I do? Yeah. I discovered a glitch. Maybe you have, and I've started working on that too, because you know me, I like to raise hell. At the VA, I won't complain about their services. They did good work with me, but it wasn't a real serious thing with me. But the point is that there's a glitch to where if you've got Medicare and a supplemental insurance policy that you're paying, you know, I think I pay $80-$90 a month on that. And you go in there, and you got to have something a little more than just taking a pill. There's going to be some attention, maybe stay a couple of nights or something like that. Then you get a fairly large bill, not super large in my case, but not enough. And then you call your insurance company and say, well, they don't co-pay those charges. They co-pay on drugs and things like that, but not on you know, something where they're going to have to put you out or anything like that. And so I've been on the phone fighting with those guys. Say, wait a minute, you don't tell people that when they come in. Obviously, if you're going to charge them much more than $19.95, for something, you better explain things to them, because all these veterans are coming in there. And if they got anything more than a headache, you're going to charge them a big bill, and they're not even going to see it coming. And a lot of times the people wouldn't even need or want the extra service if they thought they was going to get a big bill. So anyhow, they come at you with the story that the Medicare is a federal program, and Medicare is a federal program, and VA is a federal program. So the one can't pay the other. But when you ask, well, what about my supplemental insurance? The supplemental insurance company says, we don't pay either. So I'm going back to my regular doctor. I never had this problem when I had a regular doctor. So anyhow, that's a little personal thing that I'm not crying about me, because, you know, it wasn't a super big deal. You can imagine if a guy had a heart transplant or something, they'd send him a bill for $45 million. So anyhow, in case you have friends or fathers or brothers or sisters that are military, warn them about this, that if they go into a VA and the VA says you need to have this done or a little operation or whatever, make sure that you say, now how much is this going to cost before you even start? And I don't see why most people wouldn't choose to go to a private physician where your supplemental insurance and Medicare and all that would work. That don't even make sense. So here's another way that they're screwing. A lot of these veterans are getting exorbitant bills and being forced into poverty over a medical bill. Anyhow, check that out with your relatives or anybody in your family that might need VA medical assistance, and make sure they get that straight, or even complain to their so-called congressman. Anyhow, I just thought I'd pass that along to you, because I'm going to go to the House Veterans Affairs Committee, which probably will accomplish nothing, but I'm going to say, you got a glitch in your system, and you better straighten it out, because it doesn't make any sense for a person that can go to his regular family doctor and get his Medicare and supplemental insurance works all the way, and then you go to the VA and they say, no, that don't work here. You veterans, beware. I know we've got a lot of, quite a few veterans that are young and old that are on our radio club list, and so it's something you need. And I know a couple of them out there have had some major, major, major problems. So, of course, you could just say, screw it, and walk away from it and not pay it. Then they'll put you in a veteran's pauper prison. Yeah. Well, I got a letter, interesting letter here, and the name says, in the name of the Almighty. And let's see, he signed what? What did he sign? His Islamic name, he says, is, well, no. He's using the name James M. Malarik. Islamic name, Brother Ibrahim Ali Matik Gaddafi Ebay Amir, Islamic Identity Movement, International Muslims United for Iran, Mufti. Elect Brother David Duke to U.S. President in 2016 so the Jews can run to the hills and the homosexuals of the evangelist Jew-loving bastard. Let's see, what did he say on the other side? Greetings, Brother Metzger. Well, I don't know whether I want to be your brother or not. The Jews and the Christians, the Zionist filth and scum of the earth, are tormenting me. Well, don't let them get you down, baby. Just, life's just a bowl of cherries. Laugh it off. The Holocaust never happened in Brother Hitler's Germany because there never was 6 million Jews in Europe. Well, here, I don't go along with this thing, it never happened. The Holocaust, as described by the Jews, never happened. But as far as a lot of Jews did die in World War II, just like 55 million people died in World War II, yes. And I don't think it serves our purpose to go around and saying no Jews died in World War II and no Jews were shot and murdered and dumped in trenches, because it happened. It's simply that the oddball, screwball number of 6 million never happened. Anyhow, I believe that a nuclear Islamic Republic of Iran is the only solution to the Jewish Talmudic Zionists and their Zionist Christian allies. Well, I'm not anti-Iranian, you know, Persian. I think that they would, if they could shake off these religious nuts that are running the country and become secular like they used to be, until we stuck our, until the United States stuck their nose in there and overthrew, what was his name, Melchizedek or something like that, who was democratically elected. And we start, you see, our central government goes in and starts the trouble, and then it goes on for decades and decades and decades. I'm a hardcore Hezbollah, Hamas, Palestinian, Islamic Jihad, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, General Command under Brother Ahmad Jibril and Abdu Nidal Organization sympathizer. And David Duke, too. I'm a supporter of the Brother Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. The ADL and the SPLC are Jewish lies. I am for the separation of the great Satan, USA, between Islamic identity and Christian identity, Aryan nations, and so on, since the Zionist swines and apes in the U.S. government are pushing for a two-state solution in Islamic Palestine. The Jews, who are the synagogue of Satan, should leave Islamic Palestine and move to the top of Alaska, or face a nuclear Armageddon. The Jews should be eliminated from this power and be the chosen people of death. The Jews control corrupt judges in the USA. Judaism and Pauline Christianity are the gutter religions that fund Zionist Israel and spread corruption. Zionists such as the satanic John Hagee of Christians United for Israel, the satanic Rabbi Eckstein of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and the satanic Pat Robertson of Christian Broadcasting Network are all scum, swine, and apes of the planet Earth. Please post this message on resist.com. Free Palestine. Revolutionary salute. There we go. Well, boy, he's after him, I'll tell you that. Well, we got to be partly for him, and he's got to be partly for us. We can't go all the way, but I'd rather have him as a friend than an enemy. Well, here's a note from Stray Dog. And it says, all's going well here. Observed evidence that a cooler summer temperature-wise means less nigger crime. Cold weather placates mud people. Concerning ISIS and DSCAM, remember the Ottoman Empire was Muslim. Man's religion is contrary to the natural law and therefore is not logical. Can't connect the dots for the people. They'll have to connect the dots themselves. I provide them with the dots. I caught a 40-pound stingray, but didn't keep it. What a ride, the fish of a lifetime. He came off in the surf after 20 minutes of fighting. Good to hear your voice. Stray Dog. Well, to prove to you boys and girls that even a man doing life in prison, in a crummy, really rotten prison, could have a sense of humor. I received this the other day. In defense of Ray Rice, the football player, I think that the NFL and all those Jewish team owners, even the non-Jewish ones, owe Ray Rice an apology. They hired him because he's a tough guy. A massive and muscular urban thug is exactly what they wanted and continued to want in the NFL. The fact now proven that Ray Rice can knock a bitch out only enhances his value as a player. Negative publicity and feigned sensitivities aside, who cares? The dude can play. I know what I mean. And of course, suspending Ray Rice was very racist. Clearly, it's culturally insensitive. Who would dare to hire a bunch of Mexicans and say that to keep their jobs, they must refrain from eating beans? Everybody knows about black culture. They beat the hoe. As simple as that. You and I wouldn't do it. We're white. But the experts can't be wrong. It takes all kinds, and this kind of diversity clearly makes America a better place. Yes, they beat the hoe, but it's part of their rich heritage and racial identity. Keeping a bitch in line is the essence of being a real African-American. Man, who are we to judge? But the NFL has judged. They banned what should surely be a private matter. What will the NFL ban next? Will they impose a dress code? Will they ban dreads, lime green suits, and pimp hats? What's next to go? Earrings, gold, and When will it stop? But this is what happens when a bunch of billionaire Jews are telling blacks how they should live, dictating the lifestyles of their hired help. It's almost like slavery. It won't stop until blacks own their own NFL football teams. And that's not going to happen very soon. Pardon me, boys and girls. I'm changing pages here. I don't have one of those fancy screens like Obama's got to where he can read all of his goddamn speeches. For now, the problem can be solved by the NFL. Ray Rice should be cleared to play immediately. Moreover, the NFL and its owners disproportionately tell a bunch of Jews they owe Ray Rice and black Americans everywhere an apology for being culturally insensitive, in fact, racist. Ray Rice is who and what they hired. He has acted accordingly, even exceeding expectations. In short, the dude can play. He earns his pay, and that's all that should truly matter. And go Ravens! Yeah, that's pretty funny, man. Pretty funny. That came from our friend George David Loeb, Jr., prisoner number 282124. Now, his address is on our website. Write him a note or a letter and tell him how you like his stuff. He needs some letters coming in there. Our people don't write the prisoners near enough. Don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble for writing a prisoner as long as you don't tell him you're going to smuggle a file in for him to break out of the place. You don't need to convince a person who is a racist and who is in prison because of race. You don't need to convince him about race. Right-wingers are... Richard Scutari was telling me he gets all these wild-ass letters from these people in the right wing, which many times get you on a list in prison. So when you write a letter to a prisoner, you talk about common things, the family, how work goes, and, you know, some political stuff, but general political stuff. You don't write them and say, man, I wish I had you on the outside here, man. We could really tear up the town and break in and rob the banks, and you don't do that. Unless you're stupid, like much of the right wing is. Or it could be the feds themselves. They do the dirty tricks all at COINTELPRO. They can have people out there writing prisoners like a pen pal situation and saying god-awful things and getting the prisoners in trouble. They got enough trouble already. My friend wrote me a letter here, sort of friend, I guess. I've known him for a long time, Bruce Forrester, Jr., and he's known as Clark Kent. He's always been a flying saucer enthusiast, investigator, living over here in Ohio. We had him on the show a couple of times. He just came back from the big energy fair, a big solar wind turbine show. And I'd like to get some information. He said he'd come on the show, so if you don't mind, boys and girls, I'll give him a call and get him on the show here, and he can tell us about what he found out at the big energy fair, and he can also tell us about his latest research on unidentified flying objects. Every once in a while, there's one of those in my house, and I get my gal gets mad at me, and all of a sudden, there's an unidentified flying object hits me in the head. So I can prove to you that they do exist. I don't know whether any of you people are familiar with Robert Crumb. He's at heretical.com, www.heretical.com. Anyhow, he's one hell of a cartoonist. He's on the level of A. Wyatt Man, maybe even better. I don't know. One of our friends out there sent me some of his cartoons that are... One's entitled... It's a comic strip, actually. One's entitled When the Niggers Take Over America. It's something else. I've seen him years ago, but a lot of you people probably haven't. And the other one he sent me was when the goddamn Jews take over America. So we got a couple of comic strips. If you guys want a copy of both of these, well, let me know and I'll photocopy them and send them to you. And we may put them up on the website too. You know, the last time I flew on a plane last year when I went out to see my kids, they gave you a special deal on if you got X number of miles. I didn't have that many miles, but still, they give you a list of magazines that you could have for $2 a year subscription. So I signed up for a few of them, actually too many, because I don't get time to read all these magazines. If anybody out there wants these magazines that I get, and after I'm done with them, I'll put them in a package and send them to you media mail. I hate to just throw them away. But anyhow, I get the Wall Street Urinal. I get that every day. Let's see what's news. A group of 12 banks are working on a new initiative that aims to create one-stop platform for finding buyers and sellers of corporate bonds. Well, you can be sure there's a bunch of rats in that situation. GM issued three new recalls covering over 60,000 vehicles in North America, the biggest for an ignition switch issue on some police patrol cars. The cops are not going to be able to start their car or turn them off. Yeah, that's funny. But what the hell happened? You know, a lot of stuff they recall is Mickey Mouse stuff, you know, like with the toys for the kids. They got to protect every nigger kid that's got stupid parents. I know there was a sash that we bought. We get a lot of road noise past our bedroom, and I got one of those bamboo sashes to put up there with drapes over it so it cut down the noise. And had a big sign in there, well, you got to do this and that, and we took pains to do this so your kid wouldn't strangle himself. Evidently, they're swallowing the sash cord with the knob on the bottom. I mean, you know, how you can't protect people like that. I mean, you know, common sense with parents looking after their kid that they don't get swallow a toy or something, that should be common sense. Of course, a good share of white people are thinking about the level of niggers now anyhow, so it doesn't do much good. But anyhow, they don't say on here, well, there's an article that goes along with it, but 60,000 vehicles recalled. Whatever happened to American workmanship? I think most of these parts they're putting in the cars are from other countries anyhow, so they're bringing them all in here from Asia and all over the place, and then they're slapping them together, and you know how that goes. Former Fed Chief Bernanke and other architects of the U.S. response to financial crisis face a grilling in a suit brought by AIG ex-CEO Greenberg. You know, there's one Jew going after another Jew to protect the income of a whole lot of Jews. Okay, stock funds fell 1.9% in the third period, their first negative return in 9 quarters. As worry funds of investors kept turning to bonds. Well, let's see here. What else can I find that'll excite you and get you clicking your heels? Well, the Islamic State proves resilient, it says here in the Wall Street Urinal. Yeah. U.S.-led airstrikes disrupt extremist group but don't loosen the grip on territory. Well, of course not. You can't wipe them all out by air power. They're boots on the ground. They got the boots on the ground, just like the Taliban did in Afghanistan, which we should have left alone. The only thing that can bring order in Afghanistan is the Taliban, even though they got a kooky religion. U.S.-led airstrikes designed to serve notice on Islamic extremists in Iraq and Syria have also delivered a sobering message to La Cesspool Grande and its allies. breaking the militants' grip will be every bit as difficult as they feared. Well, one reason that we've supplied the ISS with all the great weapons, we have left super-duper weapons behind, and they're using them on the ground. And so, and now the Air Force is spending most of their time firing rockets at the equipment that belongs to us. I saw a picture the other day on one of the news deals that showed a plane shooting a rocket, and guess what they're shooting a rocket at? A pickup truck, a Toyota pickup truck. Now, number one, how much dangerous material could be in a small pickup truck, if any? How many guys could fit in a pickup truck, a small pickup truck? Not very many. So let's get this straight. You got a $100 million airplane, a fighter, and you've got rockets that are probably 50 grand a piece or something like that. I don't know, but I know it'll be high. And then all the support behind that aircraft on the ships or wherever they're at. And they're wiping out a pickup truck. I mean, you know, talk about, that's not warfare, that's stupidity. Our State Department and neocons go in and stir up all the shit and then leave all the weapons there from a fight and then come back and try to wipe out the weapons we left from a fight. It's insane. I think most progressive left-wingers and I and probably you agree on that. It's all insanity. The only ones that don't think it's insanity are the Republicans and the neocon Republicans and a lot of the right-wing racialists, too, like these guys that are supporting killing over there in eastern Ukraine. They never seem to answer my questions. They never want to talk about the civilians that are being killed and the women and children that are being killed. They only want to talk about, well, Putin's guys are doing great, and the other side, is Kiev's side, say, oh, our guys are doing great. But when you see the pictures, you see all the bombed out houses where people lived. You see the dead bodies of women and children. And some of the guys I've talked to on the internet don't seem to care about that. They choose a side and that's the way they go. Well, that's bullshit, and you can tell them I said so. I used to, you know, exchange some thoughts with them, but when I discovered they don't give a shit, they just want to kill somebody, and then if they kill enough people, then they're the winner. I don't have time for that kind of stuff. That's just right-wing bullshit. That's like the Hitler lovers that all they do is watch World War II warfare. They get their jollies off. Most of them wouldn't have the guts to ever go through the Eastern Front or even the Western Front or the Southern Front or the Northern Front. But they like to watch that shit and get off on it. It's a bad situation, boys and girls, and you should stay away from those kind of people. Now, I believe in total self-defense for you and me in our country, in our town, in our county. That I understand. Kill to the death, like these guerrilla outfits like the Viet Minh did in Vietnam. They were on their turf. They were attacked. So they were fighting to the death. They'd fight on forever. That's one thing. But all this bullshit of invading other countries and occupying other countries and all that kind of stuff. You and I got more enemies within 50 miles of our house than that. Than we do anyplace else in the world. I don't give a shit what people in Afghanistan do. I don't give a shit what people in Iraq do. I don't give a shit what people in Iran do. That's their business. But don't come over here and start causing trouble, immigrating in and causing trouble. as far as I'm concerned, the politicians in this country are far more my enemies than anybody in another country. That includes the chief, the chief Negro, who's being manipulated right along. Yeah. You guys ever watch Fox TV? That's nothing but a whorehouse. They got all these beautiful women on there now, including the mulattoes. They all got their skirts clear up to their ass. They can't uncross their legs or you get your picture taken. It's unbelievable. Doesn't anybody see through this? This is not news. This is total bullshit entertainment. But they're recruiting sex models. I just happened to glance up here now on my television. They got their skirts clear up to their ass. And they're trying to act like they're intellectual and know the answer to the problem. Boy. Boy, oh boy, Walter Cronkite would have a problem with this. All the race mixers are coming out of the woodwork on this Ebola that, oh no, you can't isolate people. You can't close borders. That would be terrible. You can't do that. We've got to have international race mixing. No matter how dangerous and culpable we are to horrible diseases that eat your guts out. No, 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 we couldn't close down an airliner. We couldn't isolate the African nations. Couldn't do that, man, because that would be discrimination and racism. But the health officials voiced confidence the U.S. won't suffer a widespread Ebola outbreak and rejected calls for a travel ban on affected countries. Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't let one of those Christian missionaries or other missionaries of any kind, once they've lived over there among those Ebola-soaked countries, I wouldn't let them back into the country. Or at least I'd hold them off in some isolated island someplace for about 6 months or a year to make sure they're clean. It's the only way you can do it. The way it is now, hey, believe me, there's got to be more and more outbreak. I don't know for sure what's going to happen, but it doesn't look good to me. It doesn't look good to me. I see down in Brazil, we got two women running against each other. What the hell's that all about? Men are starting to get out of politics. More and more women are jumping in. And usually non-white women, too. How's that going to work out? Well, you never know. White women in office, if they got their mind right, could do some good, but with this she-bitch Hillary, trained by, what's his name? Anyhow, Rules for Revolution. I don't think that would be a good idea. But what are you going to do? Republicans will put a numbnuts up there that is just as bad. So forget it. That part of it's all over. Wonder about these stories that just get big time and then they disappear. Because the press will get on something and just ride it to the ground. And then go on to the next big deal to scare the shit out of you. The deep sea search for a missing Malaysia Airlines flight is set to resume in a remote area of the Indian Ocean. Well, they're reviving that story, I see. Yeah. See, the Mexican cops are having fun blowing away, 20 students? Cops and cartel people, but mostly cops. That's what happens when you don't keep cops in line. They get too much power, too much muscle. And down in Mexico, the cops and a cartel are stronger than the government. Yep. President of Mexico made a 4-minute media speech yesterday, which really said nothing up until now, the presidents of Mexico have never really condemned all the killing. So this guy, he made a 4-minute speech. I'm not going to tolerate that shit. No, no. I'm not going to tolerate it. Well, I can just see him in a movie like The Godfather. Well, what ain't you going to tolerate, boy? You get back where you belong. Shut your mouth. I see Colorado has started a program of studying pot smokers. And they think that pot smoking causes schizophrenia in teenagers. They got signs around in Colorado says, smoke and find out. One sign says, subject needed, must be a teenager, must smoke weed, must have 8 IQ points to spare, says another. And they've got these cages, they're about 10 by 10. And supposedly people are supposed to go inside them and they study them. I don't know what's going on. Well, let's see what's going on in the drone business. Dateline Berlin. In 4 years, servicedrone.de GmbH has emerged as a promising player here in the rapidly expanding commercial drone industry. The 20-employee startup has sold more than 400 unmanned aircraft to private sector companies and now is pitching its fourth-generation device. Over the same period, Seattle-based Applewhite Aero has struggled to get permission from the Federal Aviation Administration just to fly its drones, which are designed for crop monitoring. Crop monitoring? The company, founded the same year as a service drone, has test flown only one of its 4 aircraft and is now moving some operations to Canada where getting flight clearance is easier. Quote, we had to petition the FAA to not carry the aircraft manual on board, unquote, said Applewhite, founder Paul Applewhite. Quote, I mean, who's supposed to read it? Unquote. Mr. Applewhite, like many of his U.S. peers, fears the drone industry is moving past the U.S. and we're just getting left behind. The U.S. introduced drones to the world as machines of war. But as unmanned aircraft enters private industry for purposes as varied as filming movies, inspecting wind farms and herding cattle, many U.S. drone entrepreneurs are finding it hard to get off the ground, even as rivals in Europe, Canada, and Australia and China are taking off. Well, my answer to the drone is the same I had 20 years ago. The light aircraft, these light aircraft that run almost with a washing machine motor, you just mount 12-gauge shotguns on the wings, and they're easy to fly. I had an associate who had one. He wanted me to go up in it, but he was like sitting on a bicycle seat, and he was a couple of thousand feet in the air, and there's no cage around you. But anyhow, those I think would be more practical than these drones. Especially for our people, our friends. Yeah. My gal used to work for one of those light aircraft companies. And they're nice. They're nice and they're not too expensive. Yeah, old GM's recalling a whole bunch of these police cars, these Caprice police cars. The rumor is they're blowing up. Just kidding. I see Radio Shack's going broke, and not soon enough. Their prices are way too high. They're getting this Chinese junk cheap, and they're selling it twice what it's worth. If you're shopping at Radio Shack, you're dumb.
A young boy thrown in jail as a 16-year-old high school sophomore, now more than 3 years later. This young man is free. Criminal charges completely dropped. And good evening again at 5:30. I'm Diana Williams.
And I'm Sade Veteran-Waugh. It is an outrageous case of justice derailed. How could it take 3 years for prosecutors in the Bronx DA's office to figure out they didn't have a case while a teenager sat in jail on Rikers?
Investigative reporter Sarah Wallace joining us now with her exclusive story. Sarah?
Well, Diana and Sade, the Bronx DA's office is refusing to say anything about this case, using the excuse that Khalif Browder has now filed a civil rights lawsuit. He was a teenage kid walking home from a party, literally snatched off the street and charged with robbery. It was a weak case from the very beginning.
I spent three New Year's in there, four of my birthdays. I spent a lot of holidays in there.
20-year-old Khalif Browder may be physically free, but mentally he is still trapped behind bars on Rikers, where every day was a battle to survive.
It's very hard when you're dealing with the dudes that's wild, tall, and they're big, you know, and they got weapons and shanks, and then they're in gangs. And you know, if you don't give your phone call up or you don't give him what he wants, you know they're going to jump you because he got about other gang members. It's very scary.
In May of 2010, he was a 16-year-old 10th grader walking home on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx after a party.
The guy comes out of nowhere and says, I robbed him. And the next thing you know, they put in the cuffs, man. I don't even know this dude. And then I do 3 years. Over 3 years for something I didn't even do.
Browder's family couldn't make the $10,000 bail on the robbery charges, and he had a legal aid attorney. Browder is now represented by a civil rights law firm.
What was bad about this case?
Pretty much everything. One witness identification from a stranger, no evidence, no property recovered.
Months turned into years. He tried to commit suicide several times.
It was just all balling in my head to the point where I had to grab my head, like, I can't take it.
He missed his sister's wedding, the birth of his nephew, and so many family events. In January, Browder says he was offered a plea deal after 33 months in jail. He refused.
The judge, she was trying to give me time served, and I wasn't taking it. And she told me if I lose trial, I could get 15 years. Just take the time served, and you go home today if you say you did it. I didn't do it. I'm not saying I did that.
He went back to jail. In June, he was suddenly freed with no explanation.
No apology, no nothing. They just said, oh, case dismissed. Don't worry about nothing. Like, what do you mean don't worry about nothing? I just took over 3 years of my life.
He's now trying to make up for those three high school years he lost, taking courses to get his GED.
I didn't get to go to prom, graduation, nothing. Those are the main years. I'm never going to get those years back. Never. Never.
Browder is trying to move forward. He expects to get his GED by the end of the year and is desperately trying to find a job. Any job. If you have a story you think we should investigate, call our tip line at 877-TIP-NEWS or email us at the.investigators@abc.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Sarah Wallace TV.
Black kid was in prison or jail for 3 years, two of those years in solitary confinement. Now, before you say, oh, well, that's just a nigger, well, look, they do that to white people too. Poor working class white people get the same kind of crap, and usually they don't have some civil rights attorney getting into the act like this guy did. Well, do we have problems in Ireland? In the past 12 months, racist attacks in Northern Ireland have increased 50%. In the early hours of Sunday morning, yet another home was attacked in South Belfast, an attack that the PSNI described as a hate crime. A bottle was thrown and smashed the living room window of a house owned by a Bangladeshi family in Ulsterville Avenue, and a car owned by a Kuwaiti family was set afire. Whoa, might be a clue to go back home. The attacks have been widely condemned by politicians from across the political spectrum. Screw the politicians. In the early hours of this morning, yet another property was attacked in North Belfast. Where do the attitudes that provoke these hate crimes originate, and why are racist attitudes seemingly on the increase? A few hours before the latest attack, a Facebook user in South Belfast posted this video.
Cover a brick had been thrown through the living room window of his family's North Belfast home in what police believe was a racially motivated hate crime. Mohammed and his family have lived in Northern Ireland for around 2 years. Today is his son's 7th birthday.
Still, I'm not safe. Yeah, although I run from my country because I am not safe. I fear and I survive. I didn't find myself there, so I came for a place to find myself to live safe.
A second home was targeted in Glen Rossalink. This Sudanese family, including a woman who's expected to give birth any day, were due to move in today. They're now unsure if they still want to live in the area. Neighbours who spoke to UTV say they're disgusted by the attacks. Mohammed says his family just want to live in peace.
We are same, we are human beings. We just want to live as normal as everyone. So we are very simple, very kind people, so we are not, we can't do anything to them, and just we ask them, you know, to take it easy.
Mohammed and his family plan to stay in their home. Police are appealing for information about the attacks. Seanan McCune, UTV Live.
Big parade over there in Ireland with all these crazy, rotten white people coming out there to support the Untermenschen. I'm telling you, I think I hate white race mixers worse than I hate people of other races. In fact, if other races were left to their own deserts in their own country, their own territory, no problem. But these stupid whites really piss me off. I'd rather throw a brick through their window. Sounds of their parade.
It is a joyous thing to march here today, as we will shortly, in solidarity with you and with all our neighbors of every background, of every faith and every color. Whether your skin is black or white, brown or pink, you are one of us. We are one people!
I was a refugee from Hitler's Germany, and in 1939, and I had been so well treated in England and Northern Ireland, and I just want that for everybody.
I'm here today with my family to show that racism can't be tolerated in Northern Ireland. We've been very offended and very hurt over the last few weeks, and we want to show that we're not going to put up with it any longer. We're delighted to see so many people here today, and we really hope this is the start of a change.
We're out here to stand in solidarity against racism. It's like any form of hate, it's unacceptable.
In troubled times, and we're in them now economically and socially, the forces of darkness rise and the forces of darkness spread prejudice and hate, and we're here to say today, not in our name.
Because I am against racism. I am against racism.
Racism and sectarianism also happens in our workplaces, and it is our job as trade unionists to challenge it when we witness it. And we don't care who you are, if we witness it, we will challenge it.
The defense of freedom of speech or expression is an important human right, but it comes with responsibility and cannot be used as an excuse to cause hatred.
The anti-immigrant climate and the recent spate of attacks have made me and many of my friends want to leave. It's easy to say, if you don't like it, go home. But this is my home now. Physical attacks are the most visible form of racism. What we don't talk about is the exploitation and discrimination experienced by migrant workers on a day-to-day basis.
I also believe that we need to get rid of the racism and the hatred in Northern Ireland society.
Yes, I am absolutely proud of Belfast, that we're all like united against us, what happened in the last couple of weeks.
I'm living here and I see a lot of people and I'm very happy.
I feel very warm, you know, to see this big crowd of people from Northern Ireland to stand behind different people from different countries that are all together here today.
So there's a direct connection between class struggle, if you like, a certainly rank and file trade union struggle on the one hand, and the fight against racism on the other, and that's why we're here.
And we're totally anti-racist, and that's why we're out here with our banner today, to support everyone else is here, and it's a wonderful turnout.
And we're out here, obviously, because we feel very strong about racism. So we're out to support the anti-racist campaign.
So deep in my heart.
busy also making comments on all the foreign stories on web pages in Ireland and England and around. So I'm through for today. 14:05 and Chacho Pajo, baby. Okay. See you tomorrow on Wotan's Day.